I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Judges, if you would please. Judges chapter number 1. Judges chapter 1. When you find Judges 1, find verse number 4. Judges chapter 1, verse number 4. The sermon title is this: They Cut Off His Thumbs. They cut off his thumbs. Judges chapter 1, find verse number 4. Once you find it, stand with me if you would, please. Judges chapter number 1, starting with verse number 4, I'm going to read out loud all the way through verse number 7. The Bible says, And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. They found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table, as I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. What an interesting story. The sermon is called, They Cut Off His Thumbs. And let's pray. Father, bless us today. Lord, a unique story, but what a challenge to those of us that are serious Christians. Now, Father, help everyone to sit still and pay attention. Might we shut our minds off to other occurrences and other worries of life and give ourselves to the Scripture this morning. Holy Spirit of God, reach down from heaven and do a supernatural work in this place, this day. God, this is the last sermon we'll ever hear. Help us to hear it rightly, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This sermon is going to be helpful for people of all ages, but might I say, the younger you are, the more helpful it will be. Though, don't limit yourself. If you say, well, Pastor, I've got some miles on me, that's okay. High mileage Christians are going to get something out of this, even if you're, but just like those of you that might feel you're a little younger in life. Joshua had passed away in this story. The children of Israel had inquired about who would fight the enemy for them. Who would be their new leader? The Lord said, a man named Judah will step up and lead you. Judah said to his brother Simeon, go with me to fight the enemy. They went to battle together against the Canaanites and the Perizzites. They found the enemy's king. His name was Adonai Bezek. He lived in a city called Bezek, obviously named after his family or his in their heritage somewhere that city had received its name. So the king is Adonai Bezek. The children of Israel, under their new leader, Judah, they defeat the Canaanites. They defeat the Perizzites. This king, Adonai Bezek, fled. In other words, they attack this city and they're taking over the city. God's people are winning a victory. But the king, Adonai Bezek, he figured out a way out of the city and he escapes. And they caught him. When they caught him, if you were listening to what was read, they did something that would to you and I seem odd. They cut off his thumbs and his giant toes. They took, maybe it was an axe, maybe it was a hatchet or a knife, and they would take that thumb out and they would take his thumb off, and then the other. Then the giant toe, you say, which toe's the giant toe? You really don't need me to answer that, right? If the toe all the way on the outside of your foot's the giant one, we need to put you in the circus. Then they took the giant toe and cut the giant toe off. And then the other foot. So they took off his giant toes and his thumbs. Then 70 kings of the enemy, in other words, the other kings associated with Adonai Bezek, they also took off their thumbs and took off their toes. That's 70 leaders or kings. You say, well, Pastor, why would have that taken place? Well, I think they would have taken the thumbs off to remind them that these were enemies of God and they had used their hands against God. Why the toes? Because these were enemies against God and they had run away from God and ran into mischief. So they were people who had not done right by God, and in the story, the whacking off of the thumbs and taking the toes off would remind them, you have misused your hands, you have misused your feet, and God was saying, and I don't want you to forget it. You used your hands, you used your feet against me, and instead of coming toward me, you went away from me, and we'll take off the toes, we'll take off the thumbs as a reminder. Hey, and what? What an amazing daily reminder of how they wasted their life. Can you imagine looking down daily and often and seeing both your thumbs missing? You couldn't get away from that reminder when you were eating and holding your silverware. And that makes sense to a lot of you. When you were eating and using your silverware, you would look down and your thumbs were missing. What would you be reminded of? That you had misused your hands and what a moment of remorse. When you go to buy a pair of gloves, you're going to have a dangly finger on that one hand because your gloves won't fit right. You throw a football. Pretty awkward to throw a football without that thumb. You dribble a basketball. Pretty awkward. While you're using your cell phone, while you're using your computer, while you go to type, your thumb was gone. While drinking a cup of coffee, every time you'd look at your hands, you'd be reminded of that. Can you imagine looking down and often and seeing your big toes missing? Your toes have something to do with your balance. You would be off balance in life just continually because of the missing toe. You go to put on your socks, and you would notice it. As you go to put on your shoe, you would notice it. What do they call those flip-flops? Is that what you call them? Those babies aren't staying in place now, are they? You got an issue on your hands. People would notice. And oh, the terrible reminder. And I think, at a glance, the regret. You look down and you regret that you had used your hands the wrong way. You look down, look at your feet, and you regret having ran from God. You regret from distancing yourself from God instead of getting close. Oh, the remorse. Oh, the reminder. And I believe that this process took place in the Bible because God wanted people to be reminded that you know, there's some things that you and I can do that will scar us. We can scar ourselves. Let me say to every young person under the sound of my voice, don't waste your life. Don't scar your life. Don't do things to your life in your youth that you'll look at and one day say, I regret that. I wish I wouldn't have acted that way. I wish I wouldn't have taken that path. I wish I wouldn't have behaved that way. I wish I wouldn't have done that thing. Hey, God wanted there to be a way that these leaders would be reminded of the misuse of their hands and the misuse of their feet. Don't do things that will scar you. Don't do things in life that later on in life you'll find remorse in them. You say, well, like what? This sermon gets simpler and more practical as we go along. For instance, and let me start by challenging maybe those that are in the first half of their life. Don't let your thumbs and toes be cut off in regard to your education. Your education. God would like for you and I to make our brains so we understand and learn some things. So those of you that are in school, those of you that are in high school, I'll make you a promise. You quit high school, you will regret that. It'll be just like somebody, someday in life, you're going to look down, and it's just like somebody whacked your thumb off. You'll regret that. So, listen, young people, work hard to learn. You might not like English, but you need to learn English. And you might not like math or science, but you need it. You might not like to study, but you need it.
Every young person, junior high, high school level, whatever level school you're in, you need to finish school. You need to finish school. And you say, well, why? Well, one reason why is the rest of us shouldn't have to support your lazy carcass later on in life because you can't earn an income because you didn't get the education. And in America, you can get it free. It don't cost you a penny. But if you're not careful, you'll whack a toe off, you'll whack a thumb off. Later on in life, you'll look back and you'll say, I remember that day that preacher was throwing a fit about finishing school. I didn't listen. I regret it now. I've never met anyone that was glad that they quit, and later on in life they say, that's the best decision I ever made. I'm dumber than a box of rocks, and I'm happy. I have met many people who scarred themselves by not getting their education. You need to get that education. Hey, and might I recommend this? It's not just a matter of graduating. Could I recommend that you learn something while you're there? Especially in the public school system. When they pass you along, you know, when you're a senior, you ought to at least have your ABCs down. You better learn while you're there, or you will regret it. You will look back someday and say, I should have paid attention in math class. I should have paid attention in English. I should have learned how to do this. Now I can't get a job. I really can't make the kind of money that I need to make. And it's because you cut off a thumb or you cut off a toe and you did not take it seriously about your education. There's a handful of you that are in our church and you're working through your colleging. Finish it. Finish it. Finish what you started. I have no regret about me finishing my college. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you can get it all done this week. And you might not get it all done this year, but you can get it done. I met with one of our fine young adults the other day, and we were talking about college. I said, Preacher, I'm kind of off track a little bit. I said, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's get at least a class a semester until we can get back on track, but we will get this done. If it was worth starting, it's worth finishing. Again, I have to tell you, I've never met anybody that said, I quit and I'm glad. You're going to cut a thumb off. You're going to look down later on in life and you're going to say, I should have finished high school. I should have finished my colleging. Not only that, may I say this. In regard to remorse or regret, can I say to everybody under the sound of my voice, don't you grow old and have remorse and regret about the way you've treated your parents. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, you might not live in your parents' home anymore if you're an adult, so you might not have to obey them, but nowhere does it ever say you ought to stop honoring them. That is, they're to be treated with love and dignity and kindness. And if you're not careful and you mistreat mom and dad, it's like whacking a toe off. It's like cutting a thumb off. You'll look down later on in life and you'll say, I regret that. I remember how I treated my mom. I remember how I treated my dad. Listen, you need to be good to your parents. And you need to love your parents. And let me say to everybody, I don't care what age you are, if your parents are still alive, Father's Day is not the only time in the year you're to do something nice for your dad. And Mother's Day is not... if the only time you ever reach out to your mom is Mother's Day, you're a sad Christian. You're a sad Christian. All you're doing is you're filling Hallmark's pocket with a few bucks on a day where you're trying to get a responsibility off of your plate so you can say you're a good son or a good daughter. You're not a good son or daughter if the only time you reach out to your parents are on Father's Day and Mother's Day. Now, some of you, when I talk about finishing high school, you're all going, yeah. Come on, get them. That's because you made it through high school. You need to treat your mom and dad right. I was going to high school, and I'll never forget this. A kid by the name of Ronnie. I think we were just out of high school, but he was about 16 years old, and I heard a rumor, and I'm real careful not to believe rumors, but I heard a rumor that Ronnie had beat his mom and dad up. Well, I had a bus route, and they were on my church bus route. Brother Tyler, I'd Well, I went by to take a look. I knocked on the door. I said, hey, is Ronnie here? They said, Ronnie don't live here anymore. And the parents, when they came to the door, bruises and Band-Aids. And I thought, my goodness. And in a rage, a 16-year-old boy decided he was going to hit his mom and hit his dad. And let me say, every young person in here, you never lay hands on your mama. You never lay a hand on it. You don't do that. You don't do that. That's not right. And I got to tell you, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. And if you ever strike your mom, I promise you, one day you're going to look back and you're going to say, what did I do? You will look back and that finger will be gone and you'll say, I should have never treated my mom that way. I should have never treated my dad that way. I don't think you ought to hurt him physically or verbally. Hey, I believe this. I believe Ronnie had a pretty morbid memory of how he treated his mom and dad. You know, again, I've never met anyone who experienced sadness because they treated their mom and dad right. I never met anyone that said, you know what? I just have so much remorse. I love my mom and dad, and I showed respect to my mom and dad, and I'm so sorry I did. But boy, could I take you to people of all ages that would say, I ignored my mom, I ignored my dad, I was unkind to my mom, I was unkind to my dad. Boy, folks, I was counseling one day, and somebody had the audacity to let what was going on inside them slip out while they were talking to me, and they were just waiting for their mother to pass away so they could get to the inheritance. That makes me sick. If your parents, if all they are to you is a few bucks in your future, you're a piddly little Christian. God, I love them and care about you. And you say, but my parents, but preacher, they're not good. I'm not talking about how good they are. I'm talking about how good you are. I'm talking about you loving people. I'm not asking you to love their sin. I'm asking you to love them. And some of you that are a little younger, you say, well, my mom and dad, they're hard to respect. Let me explain something to you. You've not been a parent yet, and it's not as easy as it looks. Funny thing, Brother Pine, the older I get, the smarter my dad seems to become. My dad used to say things to me, and I thought, that's dumb. Now that I'm a dad, my dad was brilliant. Woo, did my dad know something. There are people in this room. You cut a thumb off, didn't you? The way you treated your mama, the way you treated your daddy, don't do that. Don't do that. Adonai Bezek was a king. They took his thumbs and they took his toes off. Why? God wanted a reminder that they misused their hands. So, we could do it with our education. We could do it with the way we treat our parents. Hang on. This is going to be good for you, but some of you aren't going to like it. Some of you, this is what you're doing with yourself financially. You're whacking off your thumbs. You're whacking off your toes. You waste money. And you waste it, and you waste it, and then you wonder why you can't pay your bills. Why are you stressed financially? I wonder how many people, if you would have just saved some of that excess, you wouldn't have all these crummy days financially. But you know what we do? The minute we get a little extra, we waste it. We spend it. We're very self-centered. You realize... And I don't know, I don't know anything about any of your checkbooks or your savings accounts or anything, but there's one thing that I do know. I know the human race. And the minute we get extra, we spend it. And it's not long down the line we're going, I don't have any money, I can't pay my bills. Oh, God, help me. God said, I did help you, and you spent it all. Now, you all understand, money comes and money goes. It's in a cycle. If when it's not coming, you saved a little bit, from when it did come, you'd make it through the down spot a little bit better. Do you know where? Nowhere in the Bible does it say you ought to be going out to eat. I wish you all could just figure out how much money you spent buying coffee. Hey, and I'm not mad at you. I love coffee. I like to eat out. But I just want you all to realize... In America, we're spoiled. We are spoiled. And it's not how much money you have. It's how you use what you have. I know people have more money than what they know what to do with. They still don't have enough. And I realize there's somebody in here, you're going to get mad at me for saying this, but I just want you to know, you're going to regret if you're not careful. You're going to whack off a thumb. Someday you're going to look back and you're going to say, I wish I would have handled my money better. I wish I would have been more careful with my money. Young people, be careful getting sucked into buying all these clothes because some weirdo in Hollywood made the clothing famous. Boy, some designer comes along and the teenagers find out their clothes are what everybody likes, so we'll spend money like a bunch of crazy people buying clothes from some weirdo out of Hollywood. Listen, young people, let me encourage you. Tithe in your youth and be consistent all the way through. You'll never regret that. You'll never regret that. Young couples, please control your spending. Don't spend what you don't have. Don't have to have everything that mom and dad have. Watch out. Boy, Mrs. Owens, I'm not sure. Do they still make lunch buckets for adults? Any of you men grow up with a lunch bucket? We got married. She'd make me a couple peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and throw some saltine crackers in my lunch bucket. That's what I had for lunch. Say, why? I didn't make enough money to eat out. I had to pay my bills on time. I had to take care of my wife and my children. So pleasing my taste buds had to come second. By the way, they were good peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, huh? There are people in here, if you got peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a couple saltine crackers for lunch, you'd be disgusted. You're arrogant. You ought to thank God you have any food at all. You say, well, I earned it. You earned it off of borrowed air and living on a borrowed earth. And you get too arrogant with God, God can take it all away from you. But folks, can I tell you something? We whack off our thumbs with our finances. Hey, boy, listen, we live in America. I want you to own a house and have a car and have clothes and have plenty of food. But I'm just telling you, if you're not careful, you'll look back someday and say, what was I thinking? Why did I waste money like that? And so all you young people, let me explain. There's a thing called old age. And it's coming your way, baby. And you're not going to be able to earn money like you used to, and your Social Security won't cover you. You're going to wish you would have put a few pennies away instead of spending all your money. Guy at Lowe's yesterday made me mad. I was looking for a tool to work in my yard. And I said, I'm looking for thus and so. He said, oh, sir, a man your age shouldn't use that. So, Brother Dave, I bought it anyway. And his scrawny, dumb-looking sidekick was standing there. And he said, but, sir, a man with hair your color. I said, sir, just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there's not fire in the furnace. So I got my tool. But, Uriah, I can't run as fast as I used to. And to everybody in here, you won't be young forever. And you're going to want to put a few pennies aside, and you better learn it in your youth, or I'll tell you what you'll do. I could tell you many a senior citizen that would say, I wish I would have been more careful with my money when I was going through the process. And I may be like a voice crying in the wilderness today, but at one day you'll look back and say, I remember that guy swinging that hatchet around saying, don't whack off your toes and don't come near me with that thing. You'll regret it if you're not careful and you waste your education. You'll regret it if you're not careful and you mistreat your parents. You'll look back on it someday. You'll be sorry. You waste your money like that. You'll be sorry someday. Hey, you may regret it if you live a wicked lifestyle. In your youth or in your backslidden moments, there are plenty of adults in here that would look back and say, I wish I could take back one night of my life. There's a week in my life I wish I could take back. There's a season in my life that I should have never been acting that way. Hey, the stealing, the lying, the cheating, Hey, listen. Go ahead. Party your life away. Cut off your toes. Cut off your thumbs. Go ahead. Just go ahead. Keep whacking at your body. Keep whacking at your life. You'll look back and regret it someday. As you grow older, if you make it, if you get to rear your own kids, if you don't party yourself into an early grave and miss the privilege of your grandchildren. See, a wicked lifestyle. I'd be careful. The drugs will burn your brain away. Someone asks you a question, it takes you 5 seconds to calculate. And it's not because you were thinking. You're just figuring out if you could think. Y'all understand burnout, right? I'd be careful. A wicked lifestyle, whack off your thumbs. You look back and say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Hey, let me go on. Young people, let me start with you. Don't have regret in regard to your purity and your propriety with the opposite sex. If you're a guest in our church today, you're stuck with an old-fashioned preacher. I think young people are to be pure and clean. I think they ought to go to the wedding altar pure and clean. Here, the term virgin is not a cuss word. It's our goal. But young people, let me tell you, don't give away that which you ought to save for your mate. Don't give it away. You cut that thumb off, you'll say, I wish I would have saved it. And you say, well, Pastor, I've already made the mistake. Well, I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. You say, I've already lost my chastity. I've already lost my purity. Okay, then why don't you decide to be pure from here on out? Just stop it now. By the way, it is a sin to have sex outside of marriage. It's a sin according to the Bible. You say, but preacher, what you're saying is not acceptable in America. America is going down the tubes as fast as she can go. All preachers used to preach like this. They just changed. Young people, save yourself. Save yourself. Girls, you don't need to be with every boy that comes along and give him everything he wants. Wait until the right guy comes along. And then marry him first. Marry him. And I'll tell you something. We get on the girls and say, oh, you ought not be loose. And boys aren't supposed to be loose either. Just as important for boys to try to be pure as it is for girls to try to be pure. But let me tell you this. Let me remind you. Those of you that are married, stay pure. You have a spouse. Now, that spouse is the one to whom you are married. And so you ought to stay pure. Those of you that are adults that are unmarried, stay pure. Stay pure. If not, why in the world did they cut off those thumbs and toes? Wanted to be reminded. They'd used their feet the wrong way. They'd used their hands the wrong way. It was a reminder. Hey, let me tell all of you in regard to your Christian testimony, can I encourage you not to whack off your thumb, not to whack off your big toes? Don't give yourself a bad reputation. Look, it is there are some reputations that are hard to live down. I'm a firm believer in the forgiveness of God, and I think people ought to forgive people. But there's a big old chunk of society, they're not real good at forgiving. And you're better off not developing a bad reputation than trying to fix one once you mess it up. Hey, don't get a bad reputation. Don't get a reputation for being lazy. You'll regret that. Don't get a reputation for being a troublemaker or a liar or a rebel or a disloyal gossip or undependable. Don't build a reputation like that for yourself. You'll regret it. Now, I think it could be fixed if you do it, but it's very hard to fix. And so many times I think we do things and we whack off that thumb, and then later on in life we look at it and say, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? I'm just trying to tell you in advance, don't do those things. They will stick with you. There are some scars you can't get rid of. I think the same about hurting people. Folks, the Christian life is not all about what you can get out of people. It's what you can do for people. We live in a stingy society. It's all about me, my, mine, I. What do I get out of it? That's not how Christians are supposed to live. Hey, can I tell you something? I got 2 points left, and they won't take long. But let me tell you, I'd be careful whacking off your thumb or your toe in regard to God using your life. Young people, you've got a big, long life ahead of you. Serve God with your life. I meet a lot of people. I wonder how many times in my lifetime I've had someone come to me and say, Pastor, I'm in my middle years. I'm in my senior years. I wish to God I would have heard a sermon like that a long time ago when I was just a kid. I wouldn't have wasted so much of my life. I wonder how many adults under the sound of my voice would say, I wish I would have given my life to Jesus in my early years. I would have bypassed so much grief and so much heartache. And I would have had so much more success in life. And now I don't have as much life to give Him as I once did. Listen, young people, give your life to Jesus and serve Him while you're young. There is so much that you could accomplish. There's so much that you could do. There's so much good that you could do. You could do for our community, that you could do for our church, that you could do for Jesus, that you could do for other people. Don't waste your life. Sometimes people say, well, you know, we get this attitude. Serving Jesus is for little kids and old codgers. Leave it to the little kids to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And then the old codgers, I'm just going over to Glory Land soon. I'm going to serve God just over in the Glory Land. What's that next verse? And then all the time in between, let's do what we want. Let's party. Let's go wild. Let's go crazy. Let's please the flesh. I'm sorry. We're to serve Him from the start to the finish. From the start to the finish. For the young, I have no remorse. I was called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I'm 57 years of age. I'd like for God to give me another 20 years to pastor a church. I hope to preach all the way to the end. And I have no remorse. I have no remorse that in my teenage years I served God. And when Mrs. Owens and I were a young married couple without children, we served God. When we started raising children, we served God. When we were raising teenagers, we served God. The kids left the house and we were as happy as we could be. They were gone, but that has nothing to do with this point. When the teenagers left home, we kept serving God. Hey, we are just a handful of years from our senior years. We want to keep serving God all the way. All the way. I don't want to look back someday and think, I wasted my life. I wasted those years. I don't want that. Now, not everybody in here will be called to pastor. Not everybody in here will be called to the mission field. But you ought to be serving God with your life. And that means, hey, and I do this every once in a while, but it's good for everybody. Let me explain. If you played on a football team, and you went in and you sat down on the bench when the game was going on and watched, that would be good. Don't you want to be in the game? Now you're on the team. Would you spend 3, 4, 5, 6 years sitting on the bench, never getting off the bench, just watching? I'd be miserable. I don't see how some of you do it. You can walk in the back door of the church, come in, sit down in a pew, and watch everybody else serve God. Year after year, after year, after year, after year. I got to tell you something. You put me on the bench. I'm sitting over here going, I got to get in the game. Coach, I got to get in the game. I got to play in the game. I want to play in the game. I'm joining another team. I need in the game. Let me in the game. I came to play. I didn't come to watch. And if you think you're serving God because you watch everybody else serve God, you're blind. It's called the work of God. Try this. And I like this illustration. So if nobody else likes it, I like it, so I keep using it. Go to work tomorrow and sit down at work. When the boss comes over and says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm at work. And the boss says, what are you going to do? Watch. Oh, are you going to be watching next hour? Uh-huh. Matter of fact, I'll come and watch as often as you want me to. You know what? At some point, he's going to expect you to get up off of your rocking chair and do nothing and stop watching and start participating. And if you don't participate, they have a really difficult time giving you a paycheck. He said, well, that's unreasonable. I was tired when I went into work. Oh. Tell the boss that tomorrow. I watch people waste their life. They just don't serve God. One day, you'll look down and that thumb will be gone. You say, you know what? My life's basically gone. I wasted it. Hey, and let me throw out this challenge. Some of you in your youth, when you served the devil, you were a hellcat. You could party with the best of them. Are you going to give God that kind of energy now that you're saved? Well, you'd go for it. You were something. When everybody else was ready to go home, you were ready to party on. You going to serve God like that? Or did you love your life for the devil more than you love your life for God? No thumbs. No toes. They whacked them off. What a reminder. I'm done. This is the last point. If you don't get saved, you will have remorse someday. I don't say that to scare you. I say that to tell you the truth. If you've never been born again, if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a place called hell. I didn't invent it. I'm not the first one to preach it. It's there in the Bible. If you don't get saved and you die, you'll go to that place called hell. Talk about remorse. Be worse than just cutting off a couple thumbs and a couple toes. And I will promise you throughout all eternity, you will be reminded of the day you could have been saved and you didn't get saved. Adonai Bezek's city was taken over and he ran. And they found the king and they took him and 70 of his leaders, whacked off their big toes and their thumbs as a reminder that they used their hands and wasted the use of their hands, wasted the use of their feet, went the wrong direction. Just a reminder, they cut off his thumbs. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this: if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you're here and you're not saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Not my way, not the church way, the Bible way, God's way. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I don't know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. I don't know that I'm saved. You may put those hands down. Then may I ask this, Christian, have you been reminded or challenged today? There's just some parts of life we shouldn't ignore. There's some things that we ought to just do because one day we'll regret it if we don't do them. We'll look back and say, I wish I would have done better. I could have, but I didn't. I don't want you to look down and see a missing thumb or toe spiritually and say, I dropped the ball. I wasted. Who here would say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart about an area in my life that I need to work on. I don't want to lose a thumb. I don't want to lose a toe. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Amen. You may put those hands down. We'll have an altar call in a second. The pianist will begin to play. Once she does, we'll stand. Once we stand, if you need to come to this altar, you come. If you're one of the ones that need to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a Christian and you say, I really need to work on some areas of my life so I don't waste. I don't want that remorse. I believe there's some adults in here. It's been a while since you've reached out to mom or to dad. Hey, give them a call. Give them a card other than just Father's Day and Mother's Day. Love on them. There's somebody in here that needed desperately to hear this sermon. I hope you'll let God work in your life. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come and the altar will be open. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a Christian, maybe you need to come and get on your knees and say, you know what, I need to be more careful how I use my money. I need to be careful. I need to get back on track. And my education. Some of you young people going to high school, going to junior high school, and you don't take seriously your schooling. Boy, graduate. Get somebody to help you if you're flunking a class. But don't waste that. Somebody in here, you're living a wicked life. You're going to look back on it someday and you're going to be sorry. Your flesh might be really enjoying living it up right now, but one of these days, Christian, you're going to look back and say, I should have never been living that way. I should have never been running with those people. I should have never been acting that way. Is it a wicked lifestyle? Some of you need to set the goal of being pure and decent. You married people, you stay close to one another, and you love one another, and you keep purity within your marriage. You young people that have never been married, you have a desire to be pure and honest in your relationship with the opposite sex. Single adults, do right. Do right. Do right. It is just as wrong for an adult that is single to be having a physical relationship with someone outside marriage as it is for a 13-year-old. It's just as wrong if they're not married. Don't hurt other people. Don't destroy your reputation. You'll look back and regret it someday. Some of you will look back and wish you would have served God instead of just watched. Again, go to work tomorrow, sit down, and just watch and see how long that lasts. Nobody's looking for someone just to watch. Participate. One more time through the song, if you will, Rachel. If you need the altar, it is still open. I don't want you to have remorse. I don't want you to have regret, young people, as you grow older. To those of you that, hey, anybody alive, let's not have remorse or regret. Let's do now what needs to be done. Thank you, Rachel. Can I tell you something? You could have remorse or regret by not listening to a sermon and taking to heart a sermon about remorse or regret. One day you'll say, I should have listened to that one. When that thumb's missing or that toe's missing,